Our thoughts for today are going to be based upon Psalm 33, which we will read through in sections in just a little bit. Yesterday, my wife and I did something that we hardly ever do, and that is we took a little bit of time and we walked through the mall. We wanted to pick up a couple of things at the mall, and the mall was busy. There were a lot of people in the mall. Can you imagine which stores were probably really busy when you walked by them? A couple of guesses? Purdy's Chocolates. There was a lineup at Purdy's Chocolates. There were a lot of people at Purdy's Chocolates. Another place? The card shops. There were a lot of people at the card shops. Where else might they be? The flower shops. A lot of people buying flowers. There was a fair number, too, at the jewelry shops. All of those places. And it's all because today is Mother's Day. And so people were getting ready to celebrate the women in their lives, whether it be a mother, a grandmother, a great-grandmother, an aunt, or it may even be a woman who hasn't had children, but yet has played an important part in the life of someone. And so today is a day that we honor mothers, a day that we give thanks to God for the gift of the women in our lives who point us to Jesus, the women in our lives who are examples of a life that is lived for Christ. You know, when you praise someone, you are telling that person how much that you love him or her. You are telling that person how much she has done for you, how much she means to you, how wonderful that person has been to you in your life, and how wonderful have been the things that he or she has done. And the sincerest form of praise is not just in words, but also in actions. And I think that's probably why yesterday some of those stores were so very busy. People wanted to show the women in their lives how much they really appreciate them. Well, today our theme is praise the Lord, because God has done so many great and wonderful things for us. He is still doing great and wonderful things for us, and he will continue to do great and wonderful things for us. And so today our theme is going to be praise the Lord based upon Psalm 33. And if we look at Psalm 33, we're going to look, first of all, we're going to look today at how we praise God in three different ways. And the first thing that I want us to look at is verses 1 to 5. So let's look at that together. If we get Psalm 33, verses 1 to 5 up on the screen, would appreciate that. And we'll look at these particular verses. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make melody to him with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. What that is telling us is that there are a lot of different ways to praise God. We hear some of them. Praise him with the harp, with the instrument of 10 strings of the lyre, singing with a new song. And a new song is not just a song that's been recently composed, but it means when you remember, when you recall what God has done for you, you break out again anew in a song of praise to God. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. Lots of ways in our lives, through word and through deed, that we can praise God, that we can show God how thankful we are, how appreciative we are of everything that he has done for us. You know, God has taught us a lot of different things. One of the things that God teaches us, it is what is true and what is false. There are a lot of lies, a lot of deception, a lot of misinformation that is out there in the world today. But God in his word tells us what is true and what is false. God's word also tells us of his faithfulness, how God is faithful. You know, God has made promise after promise after promise, and God has never once reneged on any one of his promises. God has always kept his promises, and so we praise him for that, for his faithfulness, for his keeping of his promises, especially that greatest of all promises that he made, beginning back in Genesis 3 and then reiterated throughout the Old Testament, the promise that he would send a Messiah, a Savior, a Deliverer. And in the fullness of time, at the right time, God sent Jesus, who came into the world and lived and died and rose for us. And so we praise him for his faithfulness. We learn from the Word of God what is righteous and just. What is the right way of God? What it means to be just, to walk in God's ways. We learn from the Word of God the love of God. How love defines who God is. How God is one who cares for, who provides for, who takes care of, and who loves with an unconditional love his people, his humanity. God is a God of love. One day there was a father who wanted to teach his young son about God's love, and so he took him to the highest of a nearby hill. And as they were at the top of that hill, he pointed around all the directions of the compass, and he said, "Johnny, my boy, God's love is as big as all of that." The little boy stood there and he said, "It means we must be right in the middle of God's love." Each and every day, you and I are right in the middle of God's love. And we learn from the word of his love. And so we praise God, and we praise him for his faithful love, that he is a God of love, and that he loves us continually. He loves us even when we fail and fall and falter, that God loves us always. Secondly, we praise him for his power. We look at verses 6 to 11. "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses." This idea of God's creation. And we see that in creation. Whether it be from something as small and as tiny as human DNA to the vastness of the universe, we see the power of God as we look out in creation. And we see the majesty of creation. We see the beauty of creation. One particular man was talking about how the earth is and how we can look at not only the earth but the universe. And he says, "Consider God." And you start out with our solar system. At the speed of light, 186,000 miles a second, sunlight takes 8 minutes to reach the earth. The same light takes 5 more hours to reach out to the farthest end of our solar system. And after leaving our solar system, that same sunlight must travel 4 years and 4 months to reach the next star in the universe. That's a distance of 40 trillion kilometers. The sun resides in the Milky Way galaxy, which is shaped like a flying saucer, flat and with a bulge in the center. Our sun is roughly 3/4 of the way to the edge of the galaxy. To get a feel of that distance, if our solar system were 1 inch across, the distance to the center of the Milky Way galaxy would be 379 miles. And yet our galaxy contains hundreds of billions of stars. God made it all. The vastness of the universe down to the tiniest atom. God made it all. And we praise God for his creation. And we praise God for his rule over this creation that he has made. For he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the people of no effect. So we look at God and we see all that God has done. And as it says in verse 8, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke and it was done." And this word, when it speaks of the fear of God, it's used in two ways in the Bible. It's used in the sense of, you know, to stand in front of a holy God, a sinless God, and we see our own failures, our own sins, and rightly we should fear God, be afraid of God. But also it's used in the sense of awe or reverence. We stand and see the majesty of God and all that God has done, and we are just awed by that. One man writes of the story of how his family was taking a family trip, a family vacation or holiday, and going to Toronto. They had never been there, but all the guidebooks said, if you go to Toronto, you need to go up the CN Tower. Anyone here been up the CN Tower? Okay, I've never been up there. But he says, you have to go up. And he says, this was his thoughts. The mere thought of going up 1,815 feet above the ground, he says, made me queasy, but my children wanted to do it, and they were pestering me, so I decided I would do it. He says, I was the last one in the elevator, and of course, I'm the last one in the elevator, and then lo and behold, to his horror, as it's going up, it's a glass door, and he can see the city falling beneath his feet, and then he gets up to the top, and he thinks, well, now it'll be okay, I can get out, and he gets out, and what do you walk on when you get there? A glass floor. He says, I think a sadist invented this thing, he says. And he stumbled out, and he says, I was afraid. The kids are jumping up and down. He says, but I'm terrified of this. He says, later the same year, we went to the Grand Canyon. And we stood there on the edge of the Grand Canyon, and you can look down in, and you can see the beauty of the Grand Canyon. Do you know how many people die every year falling into the Grand Canyon because they are unstable or they get looking where they shouldn't look? It's 4 to 5 people every year die in the Grand Canyon. But you see, there's a sense of awe there. It's different than being up on the CN Tower and looking through the glass floor. One is to be afraid. The other is a sense of awe. When it comes to God and we talks about our fearing the Lord, both of those senses can be used and are used. We stand, when we look before the law of God, we stand in fear of God. But when we see the amazing grace of God and what he's done for us in Jesus, we stand in awe of our God and what he has done. God is the one who rules over all things. He is the one who rules over creation. You know, people may devise plans, may have things that they're going to do and to strategize, but only what God allows will come to pass. And you look in the Bible and you see some of those plans. You see, you know, when Daniel's thrown in the lion's den, or the three young men in the fiery furnace, or the Pharisees, they all had plans. They were all going to do certain things, but yet God was ultimately, and God is always ultimately, in control of all things. And so God uses his power to bless his people, and he uses his power to get out the message that he wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Look at verses 12 and following. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. The Lord looks from the heavens, he sees the sons of men. From the place of his dwelling, he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers their works. So God wants to bless. It says there he blessed the people chosen as his inheritance. He blessed his people Israel. But it didn't stop there, because he also looked out and saw all the inhabitants of the earth, and he also wanted to bless them. And he has done that in the sending of Jesus as the Savior for all people. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers all their works. And then it goes on to say, no king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety. Neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. God is the one who blesses, who has blessed us. God is also the one who has preserved us and will preserve us. Verse 18, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. God continues to bless us all through our lives and all through our death and on into eternity. God sees and knows all that is happening to us, all that we are going through, all that we are facing, and he is there with us always. And he will always be with us, right up to the very end of our lives and on into eternity. And so we praise the Lord. We praise him for his faithful love. We praise him for his power, which he uses to bless us. And we praise him for his preservation as he continues to take care of us. And that needs to be the response to all that God has done for us. Look at verses 20 to 22. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us just as we hope in you. The conclusion to all that God has done for us should be one of faith, that we respond to God in faith, in thanksgiving, in love, and in praise for what he has done. I pray that in your life, that today and every day, you will praise God for his love to you, his power being used for you, and his provision for you. God grant that for his sake and in his name. Amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace which comes from knowing that you have a God whom you can praise, a God who loves you, who provides for you, who cares for you, who uses his power to bless you in your life, may that peace be and abide with you today and forevermore. Amen. We're going to rise and confess our faith.